our business sponsors, just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network, on the air in Riverside at 91.7. Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. It's always an honor and a pleasure for me to sit in for Dr. Youngblood to bring up the issues of the day, the issues that are important to us, and how we should react to them as Christians. What should be our response? I have a number of items I would like for us to discuss today, and of course, you're always welcome to join the show if you would like to. Here's just a highlight of some of the things that we're going to be covering today. I'm going to talk about the 2024 constitutional amendments that are going to be on the Florida ballot. There are six of them, and we need to know how we as Christians should vote for those. And if we don't even know what they are, how do we know how to vote? So I'm going to go through that with you. Then we're going to talk about the true state of the U.S. economy. What is the state of the economy actually like today? I hope we have time to get through a brief history of America's patriotic songs, such as the Star-Spangled Banner, My Country, 'Tis of Thee, the Battle Hymn of the Republic. What is the history behind those songs, and why do we continue to sing them even today? Before we get started, I do want to mention our sponsor, Tools for a Time. Let's Face the Issue is brought to you in part by Tools for a Time. Tools for a Time is an outdoor dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own their own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for a Time also has a full line of hurricane preparedness equipment, including Honda and Echo generators. Tools for a Time staff can answer all of your homeowner and professional and backup power equipment questions. They're located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, near the intersection of Old St. Augustine Road and I-295, right at the base of the gigantic 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory flying 24/7. They can be reached online at toolsforatime.com. That's toolsforatime.com. Again, ladies and gentlemen, this is Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. I live in the Pensacola, Florida area. I'm a small business owner. I've owned an insurance and financial services agency for the past 34 years. Before that, I was 10 years active duty after graduating from the Air Force Academy in 1980. I served in the Florida House of Representatives in District 2 from 2013 to 2016, and then in District 1 from 2018 to 2020. I am now what they call a recovering politician. I am enjoying being a small business owner, helping my team members here as we help our customers, and enjoying my family. I have three adult children who all live in the Pensacola area, all married, and all have grandchildren. In fact, my most recent addition, grandchild, that makes number four, was born last Friday. His name is Theodore Joshua Hill. So I asked my son, I said, well, what does the name mean? My son's name is Joshua Hill. I said, what does his name mean? He says, I just like the sound of it. I don't know. So I looked it up. Theodore means gift of God. And I shared this with my son last night when I was at his home. Theodore means gift of God. Joshua means God is our salvation. I chose that name intentionally for my son. He made it his son's middle name. So when you take Theodore, Joshua together, it means God is our gift, and then Joshua, meaning God is our salvation. So his name altogether is the gift of God is our salvation. And when I shared that with my son, he was stunned, pleasantly surprised, and said, that's a great name. And yes, indeed it is. So I'm enjoying my grandchildren, working in my small business here in Pensacola, and not missing politics that much at all, even though I do stay involved only because we have to. As Christians, you must stay involved in what's happening politically, because when you don't, when you abdicate that responsibility, then those on the other side, the left, those who are not Christians, they are going to dictate what is going to happen to you politically, which means what is going to happen to your life. So we must stay involved. Let's look at a few headlines for today. First of all, I'm sure you've heard about this. Special Counsel Jack Smith, prosecutors, files another indictment against Donald Trump. I mean, please. Donald Trump calls him deranged, and he is. There is something wrong with this man. He intensely, actually hates Donald Trump. And there's no place for that at all. And that's the only reason he is doing this, is because he hates Trump so much. He does not want Trump to become president again, not because of the good he'll do for the country, but simply because he hates Trump. It doesn't even make sense. This is an insane person who should not be involved in anything at all. In fact, it's been proven, and that's why Judge Cannon dismissed his case, that he does not have special counsel status, because even though he was brought forward by Merrick Garland, it was not confirmed by the Senate as required. He does not have special counsel, special prosecutor's ability at all. And so Judge Cannon in Florida dismissed his trial against Trump. And also the U.S. Supreme Court dismissed a lot of the actions against Trump because of presidential immunity. So this guy, this insane person, comes back again filing new indictments against Trump, which he says removes those sections that has to do with presidential immunity. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to join the show today with either your thoughts or comments, the call-in number is 904-831-0917. That's 904-831-0917. So this comes from Daybreak Insider. This is an online news organization. And it says Special Counsel Jack Smith prosecutors files another indictment against Donald Trump. And this comes from Town Hall, another online news source. Federal prosecutors have filed a new indictment in a January 6 case against former President Donald Trump after the Supreme Court granted the 2024 Republican nominee substantial immunity. A spokesman for Special Counsel Jack Smith said the superseding indictment, which was presented to a new grand jury, one that had not previously heard evidence in a January 6 case, reflects the government's efforts to respect and implement the Supreme Court's holdings and remand instructions. According to the report filing Tuesday afternoon. Now here's Ryan Fournier, who says because they couldn't win the first go around, they're trying again with a different one. This is corruption at its finest. It is, and I agree. Ryan Fournier posted that on X. I agree. Not only is it corrupt, it is brazen. It is an attempt to affect our upcoming election. It's election interference, as President Donald Trump has called it. There is no doubt about it. They are trying to affect what is going to happen in this election, November 4th. They know that it looks very good for Donald Trump to win right now. So they are pulling out everything they can to try and either slow it down or stop it. Here's another item. Israeli Defense Forces rescues another hostage from Hamas in southern Gaza. I'll admit, when I heard that on the radio this morning and all the fuss that was being made about it, I thought several hostages had been released. But instead we read here from National Review, Israeli special forces rescued a hostage from Hamas captivity in Gaza Tuesday morning. It was one person, and I'm sure that family is ecstatic, and I would be too. So this one person, 52-year-old Muslim Israeli man that Hamas captured during its October 7 massacre, was rescued by the Israeli military from a tunnel in southern Gaza and transported to a hospital for medical treatment. He is in stable condition and his family has been notified of the situation. That's from National Review. Katie Pavlik states this in town hall. The rescue took place near Rafah, a southern Gaza city. President Joe Biden insisted that the Israeli Defense Forces leave alone. The rescue comes shortly after Hamas rejected yet another ceasefire that required the return of all hostages. 8 Americans are being held. 5 are thought to be alive. That comes from town hall. It's a shame what we're seeing right here. This evil that comes from Hamas, where they did commit the massacre on October 7th, unprovoked. There was no cause for that. They're just evil people. And then when Israel responds, we have on our college campuses these brainwashed leftist Antifa folks who want to just bring anarchy to our nation, who want communism to be brought to our nation, and they're useful tools. And I understand that they're already starting up these protests again on these college campuses, and it should not even be tolerated. It should, there's such thing as freedom of speech, but not when you start damaging property. When you start intimidating people, you've gone beyond just freedom of speech, and it should not be tolerated. It's not being tolerated in Florida. Thank goodness for Governor DeSantis making that decision that you are not going to have those protests on Florida campuses. We shut them down very quickly, and I do applaud Governor DeSantis for that. Here's another headline. Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg states that the Biden-Harris regime pressured him to regulate free speech. So this is from the Daily Wire. Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg said in a letter on Monday that the Biden-Harris administration repeatedly pressured his company, which includes Facebook, Instagram, Messenger, WhatsApp, and more, to censor content that has protected free speech. Zuckerberg made the admission in a letter to House Judiciary Committee Chairman Jim Jordan this week, in which he said that his goal mainly moving forward was to be neutral and not play a role one way or another for either any political party or ideology. I wonder what caused that epiphany in Mark Zuckerberg. What caused that? Could it be that the conservative side was pushing back and they were losing money, that not as many people were using his companies, Facebook, Instagram, Messenger, WhatsApp? I will admit that other than for my business, where I do advertising on Facebook, I don't use Facebook at all. I stopped using Facebook when I saw how they were interfering in our last election, the 2020 election. I just pulled back, and I'm sure a number of other people did. I can't understand why people would be on Facebook. Well, let me take that back. There, a lot of people use it as a way of just communicating with family and friends, seeing pictures of grandchildren and so forth, and that's fine. But they stepped across the line, Mark Zuckerberg and his companies, when they started becoming politically involved. Now, all of a sudden, he says he no longer wants to do that. He said he doesn't even want the appearance of playing a role and will not be making political contributions. Isn't that amazing? First, he said that when he was involved before, with the Zuckerbucks, where they were involved directly in political campaigns, helping the Democrats. That was exactly what he was doing. Now he's saying by not only influencing or suppressing information, but giving big dollars, $400 million he gave. Now he is saying he is not going to be making any political contributions. He said the company made a mistake by temporarily demoting a New York Post story during the 2020 election about Hunter Biden's laptop after officials falsely suggested that it was part of a Russian disinformation operation. Amazing. He comes clean. He comes forward. Now, here is the House Judiciary GOP, and this was posted on X. Mark Zuckerberg just admitted three things: that Biden-Harris admin pressured Facebook to censor Americans, Facebook did indeed censor Americans, and Facebook throttled the Hunter Biden laptop story. Big win for free speech. Yes, indeed it was, but it was also election interference. Now, my question is, should he just get off scot-free? Election interference is a crime. He admits it. And should he just get off free because he says, hey, I'm not going to do anymore. I'm sorry I did that. Can you rob a store and then come forward and say, hey, I'm sorry I did that. I'm not going to do it anymore. You still committed a crime. So should we just say, okay, not even give him a slap on the wrist, just let it go? Same thing with the prior owner of Twitter. He did the exact same thing that Zuckerberg did. It's called election interference. It's a crime. And should he get away with it? We do have a caller on the line. Kenneth, good to hear from you. What is your question or comment, please?
Good morning. Hello?
Hey, yes. Good morning, Kenneth. What's your question or comment?
Yes. I believe exactly what you're saying. And it's a crime. And I just wanted to make this comment about Kamala Harris want to change venues because she knows that a lot of poor people do not have, what do you call it? Because I don't have it. Internet and all that kind of stuff. You know, and right. I think it was going to be on ABC, if I'm not mistaken.
Are you talking about the debate they were going to have?
Yes, the debate.
Right.
And one time she said that she wasn't going to talk to any reporters or anything. So how you know what she's going for? You know, what's her agenda? Should I say it like that?
Oh, exactly. You know, Kenneth, what she's doing is she's trying to use the same technique that they use with Joe Biden in 2020 and keep her away from the press. Just keep her hidden and only every once in a while throw out some tidbits of what she stands for, which we know she is flip-flopping on many issues right now. Now she is saying she supports the border wall, when before she called it evil. She called it too expensive. And now she supports it. No, and it's a lie. Of course she doesn't support it. Democrats, including Kamala Harris, Joe Biden, all the rest of them, they will lie without compunction. They will lie. We know they're lying, and they will lie anyway. They don't care. They have no remorse about lying. They have no conviction about lying. And they do it all the time. So what they are trying to do with her, right? She doesn't want to debate Trump because they are afraid it will be the same disaster as when Biden debated Trump. So even though Trump says, hey, okay, I'll agree to your terms, let's go ahead and debate, she backs out of it. She doesn't want to anymore. So, Ken, that's an excellent point that you made.
But Americans have the right to hear both sides. And yesterday,
oh, yeah.
I think it's like two debates, I believe, for the presidency of the United States of America to see where you're going to lead our country. And if you do not do that, that's breaking the law to me.
Oh, exactly. Exactly.
And you
the
got,
fact that she will not tell you. She hasn't held any press conferences. She doesn't even talk to the press who will protect her, who will shield for her. She won't even talk to them because they are trying their best to hide who she actually is. But it's too late. We know who she is. When she was a prosecutor in California, what she did there. Do you know, by the way, when she was a prosecutor in California, she presided over and conducted a lesbian wedding. She did that herself. There's video of it on YouTube. You can see it. And then as a U.S. senator, she voted even more far left than Bernie Sanders did. She was a communist in the Senate. And then now as vice president, she did absolutely nothing. She failed at every job that was given to her. The first job was be the border czar, whatever that is. She failed at it, and everybody knows it. And so they're trying to hide as much as possible her past from the American people, because
right.
They know.
And can I say one more thing? One more thing, and I'm getting off the phone.
That's how she is going to perform as president.
VP of vice president
to get elected.
Nominee. He's crazy as all outdoors, and I get off the phone.
Kenneth, thank you for calling. So, if you would like to join in the broadcast with your comments or questions, the number is 904-831-0917. Okay, here's another headline. Who is running the United States of America? And it goes on. This comes from Town Hall. Should the sitting president of the United States be taking two-week vacations? We have a comment here from Katie Pavlik again. President Joe Biden left a week-long California vacation Monday and headed back to the East Coast. Did he go to Washington, D.C.? No, his destination wasn't Washington, D.C. or the White House. Instead, he's back in Delaware for an additional 2 weeks at the beach. So that would be 3 weeks total that this rascal has been on vacation. His schedule remains blank after receiving the president's daily brief. Meanwhile, White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre is also missing in action and has no planned briefings on the schedule. National Security Council spokesman John Kirby held an on-the-record gaggle with reporters Monday, where he was pressed on Biden's whereabouts. Now, here's something that's interesting. So he's been missing in action for a week. He's going to be gone for two more weeks. Same for his press secretary. Kamala Harris is not running things at the White House. She's campaigning. So who is running this nation right now? We know they aren't. And guess what? Nobody misses them. Bye. No, we don't need you. Don't come back at all, as far as I'm concerned. We don't need you. We don't miss you. Now, here's commentator Proud Army Brat. Biden just left his week-long vacation in Santa Ynez, California, for Dover, Delaware, where he'll head to Rehoboth Beach for a 9-day vacation. Since stating he dropped out of the race 34 days ago, he spent just 6 days at the White House. So the past 34 days, he's been at the White House just 6 days. And those 6 days he was at the White House, what did he do? Nothing. No, he gave that little speech at the Democrat National Convention a couple of weeks ago, which, by the way, what was insane. And you listen to the press, they're saying, oh, it gave her a bump. It pushed her up in the polls. No, it didn't. If you listen to what they were saying, it was full of lies after lies. It was insane. And then we had her running mate, that crazy guy, Tim Walz. You know, how many of you saw this? And it's really kind of sad. He has a special needs child that when he saw his father up on the stage, stood up and said, "There's my dad," and started crying. I mean, which is really heartwarming. That is beautiful. And I'm not being a facetious at all about that. That was beautiful. And then when they came up on the stage and Tim Walz held his 17-year-old son's hand and gave him a rather sharp jerk to pull him out of the way or whatever, to keep him onto the stage. And even though I don't think he intended to jerk him that hard, that roughly, you can see the video, I think it's because Tim Walz himself has some spastic tendencies. And that's why you saw him jerk him real hard like that, and why he jumped up so quickly out of his chair to replace the Minnesota flag with the Islamic flag behind him. Now he sat down again, all in a spastic-type movement. Ladies and gentlemen, don't turn your dial. We'll be back after the top of the hour. This is Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Gene A. Youngblood on Let's Face the Issue.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL.